There's no name greater than the name of Jesus. Amen. So powerful. This is a new song that we introduced on Worship Wednesday, and I've led it a couple times in our youth worship. And so today is the day for Sunday morning. It's entitled In Jesus' Name, God of Possible. He is the God of possible, yes? So whatever you're facing, He can do it. He can move that mountain. He can heal that body. He can whatever it is. He can move in a situation. He can open doors. He can shut doors. Whatever it is. And all we need to do is praise and worship and lean in on the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. Desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today.
Thank you.
beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. You're an amazing God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your son, Jesus. You gave us a good news, the gospel, that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty of our sin. We couldn't pay it anyway, but you sent your son, Jesus, to take our place and to help us connect with you and to transform us and to change us. God, what you did for us, your gospel, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes our thoughts. It changes our heart. It changes our motivations and our intentions. It changes our families, and it changes the world around us for the good and for the better, God. We are so grateful and so thankful for the beautiful name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God. And Father, we take in this moment of worship a time to pray for those around us that we know of or that are dealing and struggling with different things in their lives, Lord God. Be it that they're Christians or be it that they're not, Father God, we ask that you would begin to move in their lives. Jesus, that the gospel would begin to change things in them, in the way that they think, in the way that they behave, the way that they believe, oh God. Oh Jesus, you change everything. You change everything. Thank you so very much, God. Thank you so very much. Amen and amen. I just kind of want to keep going, don't you? God is good. He is so, so good. It's so true that what Jesus did for us and what he does for us, it changes everything. It changes everything, not just what happens in this building in this moment, but what happens on Monday at work and what happens on Tuesday and what happens on Wednesday night when you're eating dinner with your family and what happens on Thursday when you're trying to solve a problem at work. It changes everything. The gospel changes everything. That's why we sing, amen. Let's give them a hand clap of praise, amen. That's why we sing songs like What a Beautiful Name. That's why we sing songs like God of Possible, because it changes everything. He is, and he can change things in your life. I hope today that if you're a guest with us, that you would see and experience that, like, everything that we do is because Jesus changes everything. Everything that we do is because he can change things in your life. And so we're glad that you're here, whether you've been here a few times, been coming here for years, or if this is your first time, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Thanks for celebrating the love of God with us this morning. Why don't you say hello to somebody around you? Give them a handshake. Learn a name. You're among the brave that got out in the rain this morning. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time, we would love to know that you were here. And the way that we know that you were here is you fill out a little new here form, either via your phone, online, or the card in the seat back in front of you. We'd just like to send you a note of thanks for coming. And you can check on there if you'd like to know more about the church. If you've been a couple of times and you're looking for what's your next step, we have a Start Here class every second Sunday of the month. That would be your next step, but trying to figure out, you know, what's Christian Fellowship, what CF Paris is all about. It's kind of a little informal gathering where we just ask some questions and go over a few of the things that we believe and what we're about and that sort of thing. That's the Start Here class every second Sunday of the month. So that would be your next step as a guest. Next one's coming up in November. We do have some announcements coming up on the screen. But before we do that, as part of our worship, we're going to have the ushers come forward, receive our tithes and our offerings. It's because of your giving and your generosity that we're able to do what we're able to do. So we appreciate and thank you for being obedient to the Lord and in your giving. And so we're going to pray, receive our offering, and then we'll hear whatever announcements we've got for us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much. What a beautiful name, Jesus. Sometimes in life, God, when we don't know what to do, we don't know what to pray, we don't know where to go, we don't know who to talk to, We've got one word that we can say that changes everything. Jesus. And this morning, no matter the situation, this morning, no matter the good things, the bad things, we say Jesus. Because we want to make you big and known in our lives. We want to make sure that there's space in our hearts and our minds. Because you and what you did on your cross for us changes everything, God. Even the way we give. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen and amen. All right, if you'll turn your attention to the screen.
What's up, Sea of Paris? We're so excited. We have just an announcement for you. First off.
All right, guys. Pumpkins in the Park is less than 2 weeks away, so we need you to get signed up to volunteer. There, you can sign up on our website, you can sign up in the app, or there are sign-up sheets out in the lobby currently. So get signed up. We're going to need all of us to make this event just epic for our community, so please get signed up. You won't want to miss it. You can sign up to have a trunk. We're going to have a few of those, run games, help with food. There's so many opportunities. Just set up and tear down. Just be there to help where needed. So please just get signed up. If you say, I'm in, go out and sign up today, please.
A big part of that is we are gonna need candy to feed all of these little kids that come to this. We're so excited for that. If every person in this building brought one bag of candy, then we would be able to feed a ton of kids and community members that show up. So please, please, please bring candy. There's gonna be a drop off in the lobby, or you could just get online and ship it to the church and then you're done with it. So candy, candy, candy. And that's it. So, Pastor Corey coming up.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Man, it's exciting to be up here. And listen, that one announcement. I'm gonna do something here, and actually, I'm gonna break like a major church 101 faux pas. This is a no-no. If you pastor a church, you don't do what I'm about to do. One of the beautiful things about Pumpkins in the Park is the idea of community. Community then means, like if we want to be involved with other people, then we have to acknowledge that other people includes not just other unlost people, but maybe even other church people. Like maybe even though they might differ in how they do worship, or they might differ in how they do things that we do, maybe they still worship Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and together with that, that we could all of a sudden make a big change in the community we live in. So I just need to let you guys know that we have currently teamed up with Shannon McGuire at Parish New Generation. They're going to be a part of what we're doing in Pumpkins in the Park. But here's where I'm mentioning his name, his church, his people, to let you know that they currently have so many more volunteers signed up than we do. How about that? Yes, they are doing a phenomenal job. I'm excited about what he's already just asked from his people about being a part of this size. And so, look, come on, please help me. I can't look bad, you know? I mean, it is going to be exciting. It really is an opportunity for us to reach into the community that we care about, that we love about. It's this community. It's this people, our neighbors, our friends, even possibly our enemies. It's us that together make up the body of Christ. And so if that is the case, if together we make up the body of Christ, then we're going to have to work out how to work out together, right? It's a good thing to join together with those whom dwell together in unity. I am excited, man, to be able to share that news, that good news, that gospel into the community. Today, I want to talk to you about I regularly talk to numerous people, and one of the things that I've noticed a lot of lately is that people who I would typically think would be full of faith, people that I would assume as grounded in the Word, what I see a lot of is a life lived that's unsettled. There's questions. Saying people are unsettled is really just like a super spiritual way of saying that people are worried. They're worried. So many people have been anxious. They're trying to trust God. They're trying to believe and live. They want to believe and live, and yet they feel uncomfortable with what it is that they are acknowledging, what it is they are seeing directly in front of them in the world around them. They want to improve. Like Brandon was saying, Pastor Brandon was saying, they want to believe and live like the gospel changes everything. They do. They know it right here. They know it. They know it. They know it. And yet, while some may crush it for a bit, most eventually slip back into old habits, into apathy, lethargy. The mundane, the normal, the everyday. They may hear a message like we did just a few weeks ago about anger. They'll hear that and they'll rush home determined, certain that no, I'm not gonna be that angry individual that I was the day before. God has changed me, and I know, and they'll go to work and they'll work on it, and they'll work on it, and they will work on it. And then come home and be impatient with the very ones they love the most. We hate the inconsistency within ourselves. Worse, because we hate the inconsistency within ourselves, we truly despise the inconsistency in others. It's frustrating. It's unsettling. Maybe you can relate. I have, it's actually a documented scientific, the research says today that there's more people that are walking away from or falling away from the faith than there ever has been before. And I think a lot of it is because of this, because of inconsistencies, because of uncertainties, because of today, I want to look at a passage in Psalm 102. And Psalm 102 was written by a guy who was struggling. We don't know for certain who wrote the 102nd Psalm. Some scholars say that they believe it was King David writing actually during a time when his son Absalom was trying to destroy him, kill him, taking armies, chasing after him. Others say it was a prophet who had been taken into captivity, and in this captivity he was hurting, he was heavy. The truth is we don't know who wrote it. But what we do know is they were dealing with a lot of what we tend to deal with. Whatever was going on, whoever wrote this, this was definitively a terrible season in their life. I want to pick up in verse 1. And in verse 1, it starts off, he cries out to God, and he says this, "Lord, hear my prayer." Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. In other words, God, I've been here before. I've asked this before. I've pleaded with you for this before. God, this time, if ever, if any, now. God, if ever, now. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call to you. He goes on writing and says, for my days disappear like smoke and my bones burn like red hot coals. My heart is sick, withered like grass, and I have lost my appetite. Now he goes on and describes some other horrible things, but look, how bad is it if you've lost your appetite? I mean, I've been in some holes. I have been in some bad places. Honestly, bad enough I was doubting the existence of God. If I can be honest. Places in my life that were hard. And never once did I say, I'm not eating. like it didn't get that bad. Like, it wasn't so here that I wasn't still doing, you know, getting the... I lost my appetite. He feels hopeless. He can't eat. He can't sleep. He's spiritually isolated. He's relationally alone. Look, that's clinical depression. I mean, that's textbook. The guy was depressed. Suffering through depression. His world is unsettling. There's nothing that he can count on. Everything around him is changing faster than he can even keep up with. I think it's a lot like we see today. Everything is changing at such an uncontrollable pace. Look, I know you've noticed. It doesn't matter what side of the line you're on. You keep thinking the line keeps getting moved the other direction. Rules are changing. Policies are changing. What you can say changes from yesterday to today. And some rightfully so, but others you're left going, I'm sorry, you want me to what? As we sit here, there's a good possibility that gas prices are changing. It's an unsettling world that we live in. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but what if this person gets to this place, or what if that happens to here, or... It's unsettling. Everything around us, it's changing. It feels unsettling. We live in new times. Even as a pastor, I get together with other pastors to discuss how it is that we should pastor, and everybody looks at each other going, oh, this has never happened before. We don't know. How confidence boosting is that? Everything around us changing, and it feels unsettling. And when you know that people will let you down, when you know that your finances don't seem like they're enough, when you watch the news and all you can do is think, can this get any worse? What can you count on when everything around you is uncertain? This psalmist, as they write, they pen what many of us probably feel right now. Anxious, unsettled, in a world where today we would say, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Oh, Lord, hear my cry. I don't know how I'm going to make it with these kids. Oh, Lord, hear my cry. I don't know how my marriage is going to survive. Oh, Lord, hear my cry. Whatever it is that we would say today, I think we find this guy in a similar situation as we read those words. But then the same guy who cries out to God saying, "Are you even listening to my prayer?" continues on in verse 25. He declares this: "Long ago you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will all perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you, O Lord, are always the same. You will live forever." We're in a series that we've called You Are Enough. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about different attributes of God, recognizing that if we believe what the Word says, if we believe that God lives and dwells inside of us, that when we ask Him, when we believe in Jesus' name, when we believe in Him, then at that very moment, we believe He lives in us. So then who He is represented in me. Because He lives in me. Is this Greek? Like, is this hard? We got this easy, right? If He is, and He is inside of me, then therefore I am because He is. Right. Amen? Amen? Simple? No, it's not simple. Yes. It is simple. No, it's not simple. It really isn't. It is. It's so simple. It really is. Because He is, and because He is, then I am. You are enough, therefore I am enough. You are enough because He is enough. It really is that simple. The problem is, the problem's here. The problem is here. The problem is the questions I get every day, the simple questions even about Scripture. We don't understand. We see conflictions. This doesn't line up with this. This proves that this is wrong. And so in amongst all of these questions, what the church has typically done is just kind of gone, "Nope. He is, therefore I am, and that's it. I don't need to look any further. I don't need to know anymore. La 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 la." But what if we knew He is enough? What if we knew who He was? If we truly knew who He was, then when questions arise, we don't question who He is because we know He's inside of us, alive. And that aspect, that characteristic, is then therefore alive and well inside of us. "But you, O Lord, are always the same. You will live forever." The attribute I'm talking about today is that God is constant. He's constant. A God who never changes. So therefore, when everything around you changes, when everything around you fails you, you can still put your trust, your faith in a consistent God. Now, this is vitally important to our faith. The understanding that God is constant is vitally important to our faith. It's also the biggest obstacle. It also tends to be, at its base, the very obstacle that most of our questions come from. The main mental block that we have to overcome. Because our minds cannot comprehend eternally consistent. Our minds cannot grasp eternally consistent. It doesn't make sense. Nothing around us has ever shown anything to that nature. Nothing. You can have the greatest relationships with mom and dad, and yet still there's going to be something along the way that you feel like they failed you. We don't get it. And part of the reason why we don't get it is we tend to ascribe human characteristics to a holy God who isn't constrained by the parameters of his creation. We take things like God's hand reached down and grabbed me. If God is spirit, then God doesn't have necessarily a hand. But to describe it, to recognize what it is we know that we've felt, we sometimes pin down God's hand picked me up. Because we cannot grasp eternity. And with that, we can't grasp a God who is then not constrained by those same elements. So then when we see what we perceive as inconsistencies, even in Scripture, what we do is we tend to blame God. We write him off because we have questions about the timeline. It's the multiverse, just kind of in a whole different parameter. And we don't get it. We don't. So then what does "but you, O Lord, are always the same" mean to us when we don't get constant, consistent? Malachi 3:6, God says, "I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 13:8, the author writes, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." So, in other words, that means for us that there was never a time when God was not God. And then also, there never is a time when God ceases to be God. And then, there never will be a time when God will not continue to be Lord of everything. He always has been, always will be. We talked about it last week. He's holy. He's perfect. And because he's perfect, listen here, because he's perfect, he can't get any better. Right? Because if he could get any better, then he would have been incomplete before. And because he's perfect, he also can't get any worse, because then he would be imperfect. Okay, I'm not going too deep. I mean, this is like pretty simple, right? We get it, we just don't get it. He's perfect. He can't get better, he can't get worse. He's perfect. "I, the Lord, do not change. There is none like him." So what does that mean for us today? Because look, across this room, there's people that are dealing with things that we wouldn't wish on an enemy. Marital struggles, relational struggles, children's struggles, financial struggles. I mean, across this room, the gamut runs with basically every single struggle that there is. Why? Because we're people. What do we do in a world that's constantly changing? What do we do when we cannot count on anything? In my closing minutes, which will be very, very quick, maybe, I want to real quickly just show you 3 points. What it means when we don't get that God never changes, when we don't really understand that, what does it mean that God is constant to me today? The very first thing that I want you to recognize is this. If God is constant, then that means that his word is constant. God's word, which his word tells us, it's living, it's active, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the word of God, that word that never returns void. God's word never changes. Scripture says this, Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Matthew 24, 35, Jesus himself saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What do we know about the living word of God? We know that it's enduring. It's fixed. It's lasting. It's true. It's irrevocable. Indestructible. The word of God is living, powerful. It's active. It'll change you. The very thing you read yesterday, today can completely transform your life. It transforms you. It gives you hope. It's the word of God that is constant. It's the word of God that never changes. The second thing that we need to recognize is that if God is constant, then God's character never changes. So God didn't have to study to be wise, because he is wisdom. He didn't have to receive love in order to give love, because he just is love. He didn't have to see mercy to understand or to show mercy. His mercy is everlasting. See, God's character never changes. Scripture tells us his character, he'll never leave you, never forsake you. That's why Paul writes, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or we're persecuted, hungry, destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No! No. Nope. In whatever you're facing, in whatever comes against you, in whatever hurt that you're facing, in whatever hurdle you're running into, whatever opposition that you face today, despite all of these things, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Amen. Who loved us. Paul continues on saying, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Man. That's good. But do you get it? I mean, do you get it? You see, God is always love, so he cannot not be loving. Again, this isn't hard. It sounds hard, but it's not hard. If God is love, it's his character. That means God cannot not be loving. What does your demeanor speak to people around you? All right, we'll move on. He's holy, he's just, he's righteous, he's always patient. And I don't get that, because I've been really trying to work on my patience. It frustrates me. I don't like it. I don't like having to be, I don't want to be patient. I want you to get what I've got. It's here. Why don't you get it here? Get it. And a lot of, I get frustrated. So then how do I comprehend the God who's always patient with me when I can't be? How do I comprehend a God who in my mind he's got to be pissed, he's got to be angry, because that's what I do. I get frustrated, God, and this is how it works out. And so I see a God who does that, but God cannot not be loving. That's who he is. God's character is always constant. So then when you're worried, when you're worried, you're worried about somebody else, you're worried about your situation, you don't know how necessarily to reach out to somebody. You want them to know that you care. You want them to know that you love them, and because you love them, you want to be involved. How do you let them know? In moments where there's struggles, there's issues in your marriage, in your job situation, in whatever it is that is your world, when it feels like global events just make you want to sit there and say, ah, how can I raise kids in a world that's deteriorating day by day? Will we survive? When you're worried, can you just remember that God's word never changes, and that God's character never changes? And then if God's word never changes and God's character never changes, then I can rest assured that God's promises never change. How many of you have ever had somebody break a promise to you? Like, if you ain't raising a hand, you're dead. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts when you sit at home and you think about it. It hurts when you sit there and you're reminded of what was and what you thought could be and now just isn't. It hurts. Doesn't make sense. And it makes everything else just kind of unsettling. Can I keep going to church, or are they going to be there too? It hurts. People are fickle. It's the nice way of putting it. I'm sure that many of you have used many other words, but we'll stick to fickle today. People are fickle. And it's devastating. It's devastating that people fail you. So then to comprehend that God is always faithful it's difficult. I recently read an article that said currently in the American market, North America, right here, United States of America, there is roughly, they estimate, $21 billion. $21 billion in unused gift cards sitting either in your car or in your drawer at home, something that has $3.27 left on it that you keep thinking, I need to take that, and you never do. $21 billion in currently unused gift cards. Man, Look, I'm guessing there's probably a lot of people right here in this room that have a gift card stored somewhere. You may not even remember where, but you know, there's a gift card and there's something on it that I was going to use. But you haven't gotten to use what it is that you've been given that you could have used because, well, you haven't applied what's on the card to get the value out of the gift that somebody wanted to give to you. Look, I know you know where this is going. This has been like so deep, and now it's getting pretty simple. You're getting it. So very well the same way, I wonder how many billions upon billions of unclaimed promises, promises that God has spoken over his people, declared over your life, how many promises are going unclaimed? He's blessed you with a gift, and yet you haven't just simply received the promise that he has for you. What are the promises of God? Well, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes." So, whatever promise God has in his word, if you are in Christ, that promise then applies to you. So that means that promise is for you. That promise is for you, not against you. You are loved as if you are his child. My kids ask me for a lot. A lot. But the truth is, if it's within my means, if it's within my power, I want to be able to give it to them. I mean, with rules and stipulations that I deem necessary for them to understand what it is that I'm trying to teach them. Whatever. But I do. I'd love to be able to bless my kids with anything and everything. Why? Because I love them. Because I love them, I want to bless them. I want to give them what is going to help them in life. And if a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more does our Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those whom he loves? You see, he has promises for you, and it's not just for a better way of life or for material blessings. Oftentimes, it's for things far better than material blessings. It's for internal blessings, for spiritual blessings, for relational blessings, for even ministry blessings. Some of you are sitting there going, "Corey, I ain't into ministry." Every one of you are in the ministry. If you are in Christ, you're in the ministry. So maybe part of the blessings that God wants to pour out on your life have to do with the ministry that he's called you into. Does that mean every one of you need to go start another church here in Paris, Texas? God, no, please don't. I'm sorry. That didn't come out of my heart. No, but what that does mean, guys, is for each and every one of us, where you're at right now, this is a job. What is your job Monday through Friday that you have the opportunity to minister to people's lives? This is my job, and I get to minister to you. I get to share good news to you. What is your job that you get to share good news to others? The promises of God. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on up as I'm closing out here. And I just real quickly want to read through some of the promises of God. Because it's here. We don't get it. We have a tendency to just write it off that, oh yes, God is, and we put a scripture on a plaque on a wall or throw it on a magnet on the refrigerator and say, "Ooh, this is my standard. This is how I live my life." And then we go through our day and we don't think about it, much less live it. So I'm going to read these promises to you and understand. In whatever situation you're facing, he's enough. Isaiah 41, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 54, he says, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. In Psalm 23, he promises, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil, for you know that he is with you, and his rod and his staff, they comfort you. He promises you in Lamentations 3 that his mercies never end. They're new every morning. He promises in Psalm 30 that you may be hurting during the day into the evening, but joy comes every morning. He promises anytime you're tempted by the enemy. The enemy, mind you, whose mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So whatever it is that comes against me in my life, in my mind, I've already made it known that I know who's coming against me. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So in those moments, I don't say, why did you, God? I look at the enemy and I say, we're coming harder. It's hard. It's not easy. It doesn't necessarily make sense. But it does. It's simple. It's understanding a God who is constant, a God who never changes, a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anytime you're tempted by the enemy, God promises that he'll give you a way out, an escape, that there's a power greater than you to get out of the snares, the traps, the hurdles that you're facing. He promises in Christ that you are more than a conqueror. See, you see your defeats. You see everything every day that contradicts that very line. You're more than a conqueror. And God all the while is saying, am I in you? Am I in you? Because I'm more than enough. He promises if you cast your cares on him, he'll minister to you because he cares for you. He says you are an overcomer. That you have the same spirit alive inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. The very spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives alive inside of you. And what are you afraid of? What are you worried about? What inconsistency is scaring you? If you're in Christ, he promises that he helps you to step away from the old by stepping into the grace of Jesus, not by our own religious efforts, not by your own good works. It's only by his grace. If you're in Christ, he promises that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He promises that Jesus has gone ahead of you to prepare a place for you. He's promised it. He's promised that he will return, that one day. And look, oh my gosh, we get all worried about, well, then we'll win is one day. Am I going to have to run through a tribulation? Am I going to have to be scalded with burning oil and fire? I don't want to. Does it matter? Do you believe? Do you trust him? Then no matter what we face, whether it's another 1,000 years or if it's today, I believe in a God who can. I believe in a God who can. I believe in a God who is able. I believe in a God who is true to his word, the same yesterday, today, and forever, true to his promises to me. And if his word says that those promises are for me, not against me, then I can stand bold even in the face of uncertainty. Look, We're not done with. I'm done today. We're not done. Y'all are like getting scared. Oh God, here we go another 30 minutes. Children's church workers are already mad at me. They've been mad at me for a couple months now. Here's the thing, guys. We clap at that. And I'm going to ask you blatantly, point blank. Here it is. Do you really get it? Because we've been in this series, and I want to continue it next week. But next week, it's a little different. Next week, I want you to invite somebody that hasn't been. Can you believe and live as though the gospel changes everything? Or are we intimidated and uncertain by our surroundings? Can you step into your workplace tomorrow? Can you minister within your work environment tomorrow to somebody? Maybe even just simply by saying, man, I'd love to have you sit with me next week in church. Guys, I really do believe that next week's message is geared for people who are feeling alone. God, who is He? He's constant in every way. His love for you never changes. His grace is always available. His word applies to your every moment, to your every step. His character is constant. He cannot not be love. His promises, whichever one you need, they're true. They're always true. Even when it may not look like it in the natural, what we say, I don't see it, I don't recognize it, even in those very moments, you can rest confidently that His promises are constant. They're yes and amen. And in a world where nothing is constant, it's time that you and I hold on to the promises, the word, the character of the one who is always constant, always trustworthy. Would y'all stand with me, guys, as I close this morning? Again, I'm going to ask, man. I'm pleading with you. Y'all, some of you, next week it's for you, but I'm still going to encourage you to bring somebody. There's a lot of people that... There's a lot of people that are wanting to feel alone. They currently think that with everything that's going on, it's just easier to stay home. And it is. It's easier to stay home. Why bother? We can make every excuse. There's so many. I've heard them all. Next week. Bypass the excuses that somebody else is trying to give you. Get into their life. Man, let's make a change in our community. God is constant. He's always constant. Bow your heads with me, Lord God. I pray. I pray, Lord, that in the name of your Son, that your Spirit would do a work inside of our lives today. That you would change us, that you would mold us, that you would shape us, Father God, just according to your purpose, according to your promise, Lord, that we would walk in the fullness of who we know that you are. As I pray this morning, man, there may be people here who feel unsettled. And if that's you, for whatever the situation is, whatever the inconsistency is, if it's your own or in that of somebody else, whatever the unsettling is in your life, I want to pray for you where you're at. If you just real quickly raise your hand. Awesome. Even online, if you're online, just, man, write a simple line saying, I'm unsettled, pray for me. Awesome. Lord God, I pray for those that are hurting today, those that are unsettled, they're uncertain, they're unsure, Lord, of even their tomorrows or what's going on. Lord God, I thank you. I take this moment, I take this time to thank you that you're always loving, that you're always faithful, that you are a God of mercy, that you're never changing, Lord Jesus, that you're full of grace and that you're full of compassion, that you're always there, ready. We thank you, God, that you didn't wait for us to seek you out, but rather you showed your love in Christ Jesus even when we didn't deserve it. God, we place our trust in you. In the situation, whatever it is that people are facing, I pray your peace over their lives even now, Lord God, that even in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the storm, they would be able to stand firm, Lord God, on the one thing that cannot be moved, the one thing that is constant, the one thing that we can be assured of, the solid rock. Father, I pray that we would lean into you more so now than ever, because you are a God that's constant, whose promises are faithful to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for lives next week that feel alone, that feel like they haven't been seen in a while. Lord God, I pray that even now their hearts, Lord God, would start to be softened in a way, in a manner, Lord Jesus, that even just allows them to walk into this building, Lord Jesus, to hear your word. I pray, Father, for those in here that have the opportunity to minister to those, Lord God, this week, even with a simple invitation. Lord God, that we would see lives changed right here within our community simply because we believed and we lived it out. The gospel changes everything. Lord, it's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Guys, y'all have a very, very blessed week. Remember, please invite somebody next week. God bless you guys.